O Lord our God, we your people sit as it were at your feet, and we have before us these your own words. To these words we would pay attention this day, and we ask, O God, that you would aid us with understanding, and so move our hearts that what we hear we will heed, that we may live to the glory and praise of our God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now I want you to pay attention and no distraction, please. Do not think of anything else but what I am going to say to you this morning. Any thoughts about yesterday, any thoughts about what you're going to do after lunch or maybe in the following week, I hope that you will put completely out of your mind. Do not fidget. Sit completely still and pay attention to everything that I have to say this morning. I mean, what's the point of you coming here if you're not going to listen? The reason why you come here is in order that you should listen, in order that you might learn, in order that you may live according to that which you learn because you have listened. And so, therefore, do open your ears, open your heart, and do not allow buzzing flies to distract you or anything else to irritate, annoy, or remove your concentration. Please give attention this morning. We're considering the overseeing and the ordering of the heart, that which concerns us personally as we live our lives in this world. And we would first of all address ourselves. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there is any wicked way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want, therefore, each and every one of you, my children, pay attention. Do not squirm in your seats. They're not the most comfortable seats in the world, admittedly. Never mind. You're going to have to sit still. And if you want any goodies afterwards, it is required of you that you do sit still and that you do pay absolute attention. In fact, that was what was required, was it not, of the father in particular, who was addressing his sons, and we're not saying there were no others around listening, but he certainly was addressing a son, as we have it in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Or chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Or chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And then a lengthier piece in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Now, in many homes and in many classrooms, it probably is difficult at times for those who have the oversight of the present generation to command the immediate attention of young minds. And that was the intention of the father in Proverbs, to command the attention of his son or his children. For us today, that's not easy. Maybe it has never been easy. Hence the exhortations and the entreaties by the prophets to the people of God that they will listen and that they would pay attention. These were adults. We're concerned for our children and also the next generation. And hence, there is this exhortation. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forget not your mother's teaching. Dr. Kevin Donnelly, whom some of you will have heard of, is the Australian educationist, has drawn attention to this fact that one of the main reasons so many teachers leave after 3 or 4 years in the profession is noisy and disruptive classrooms. If you are a teacher, then you may already have experienced that. If you're thinking about becoming a teacher, you may want to think again, because these children have not been trained even at home to sit still and to listen and to pay attention. However, before we begin to fire our own arrows of criticism at this generation, I think even as adults we do well to examine our own hearts. Because whatever age we happen to be, there is always the temptation for these thoughts of ours, even whilst we're sitting here, to flit from one place to another rather like a butterfly. And we never stay still in our minds. Now, of course, you can blame the preacher how boring it was, how long-winded it was, etc. And so you settle your mind upon things seemingly more interesting. But we've all been, to some extent, disengaged. We have been distracted. We have lacked the discipline to focus the mind and also to concentrate. And so, hopefully, by the end of this time together, we might at least have in our minds the desire to do something about this distractive, disruptive mind of ours, which sees us flitting here and there and everywhere. Now, in Proverbs, the Father considers as an imperative, a necessity, that the offspring who he is addressing sit still and listen. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. If you do that, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, the Father not only wants the mind to be focused, he wants the memory to be the safe deposit of what is taught. I have a treasure, says the Father, and I'm wanting to pass this on to you, my son. Therefore, listen to everything that I'm going to say and lay up the treasure in your heart for tomorrow, that you may pass it on as an heirloom to your own children. My son, he says elsewhere, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. You need to memorize, store up in your mind, so that you can have a recall whenever it is necessary. And the psalmist himself said, if you will remember, I have stored up, I have treasured up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, and let your heart hold fast my words. The art of listening and learning profitably requires the student, the pupil, your own child, to have his mind directed. It's a discipline, it is a training process. When does it begin? 1 minute after they're born. And so it is gradually, incrementally, you as parents are responsible for the raising of your children and you teach them. Not allow the psychologists, the psychiatrists, all those who are working with children to say it is impossible and it cannot be done. You have a responsibility as a parent to raise your child, that their minds may be directed, that their ears may be attuned, that their eyes may be focused. I want you to look at me when I'm talking to you, please. I see some of you are actually moving away in different directions. Some of you are half asleep. Look at me. Listen to what I'm saying. Concentrate. How many times must I tell you? And if it is necessary, it may be that their bottoms have to be glued to the chair so that they will sit still and that they will listen to you from a very early age. Kevin Donnelly asks, what's to be done? Almost despairingly. Parents have to realize that they are their children's first teachers, and discipline and respect for authority and being responsible to others begins in the home and must be taught before children go to school. Parents also need to turn off the screens, computer games, and plasma TVs and get their children involved in activities that require concentration, effort, and the ability to be able to work silently and on their own. Research shows, for example, that children who have been read to daily and who are familiar with books do better at school. Some of you may have heard of the pastor and author Tim Chalice, and he speaks out of his own experience of digital distractions. And he says, if we are a distracted people, a distracted society, then it stands to reason that we would also be a distracted church, a church with a diminished ability to think deeply, to cultivate concentration, to emphasize slow, deliberate, thoughtful meditation. Christians may be excited about God, but because they have become a product of our digital world, they have diminished ability to think deeply about God, to know Him as He is. And more of us are finding that we just can't stop long enough to read. We don't know how to read any longer for a long period of time. We cannot sustain our attention long enough even to study. We cannot find time enough to meet with our Father in heaven. Where prayer used to be the first activity of the day, we now begin our daily routine by checking email. Where the Bible used to be a special book we read and studied, now it's an e-book that competes with our email, text messages, emails, and the ever-present lure of the internet. We live in the digital, distracted, disrupting age of the 21st century. And even as adults, we are having to deal with this problem, let alone try to teach and raise our children. So what is required in order that we may take directives to give attention seriously? First of all, we need to restore the principle of authority. In our pursuit of freedom and free expression, in the home and in the school, we have lost sight of the important function of an established authority ordained by God, appointed for good and godly reasons. The fool is a law to himself, and we have allowed fools to proliferate. It is said in chapter 1 and verse 24 of Proverbs, and wisdom is addressing the fools. Proverbs 1, verse 24. You refused to listen. You refused to listen. Stubborn, stiff-necked, becoming increasingly hard-hearted. A mind and a will of your own, you refused to listen. Verse 24 again, no one has heeded. You didn't listen, you didn't learn. And then you went your own way and you did your own thing. Verse 25 and verse 30, you have ignored all my counsel. You did not pay attention. And today we reject God's authority. in favor of man's own autonomy and self-will. We minimize submission and we major on self-assertion. We replace teaching with discussion. We're not going to teach, we're going to discuss. And everybody has a right, as it were, to throw their pennyworth into the pool of debate and thought so that we really don't get to understand what we're meant to be focusing upon, because everybody has something to contribute. No, you don't. You need to listen. Now, there may come a time when you have something to contribute, but first of all, you must pay attention. First of all, you must go through the discipline of learning, acquiring knowledge, and from those who are experienced and experts and who are appointed by God as authorities. We make the student at equal with the teacher. The student is not equal with the teacher. The teacher is there as an authority to be able to teach and to communicate truth and learning to the student. And you as students, listen. Listen to what is being said, that you may learn. We need to encourage silence, that others may listen and respect the teacher, those that are in authority. But we have traded silence for noise and for babble and for a disregard for legitimate authority. Creatures are to submit to the Creator's order. And the Creator's order is structured to place one above another in this egalitarian age where everybody is equal and we don't like concepts of hierarchy. I'm sorry to tell you that the Bible is full of them. There is a God who is high above all. And there is man, the creature, created in his image and likeness, who is to submit to that final absolute authority, who alone is God forever. And this same God has appointed those who, by virtue of the gifts and the grace he has imparted to them, to occupy a rank in which others are subject. There is only one admiral. There's only one captain of the ship. And then there's the crew. And they know their place and they know their part and what they are to do for the good running, as it were, of the ship. In the school system, there are those that are headmasters, headmistresses, and there are members of the staff, and then there are students and pupils. In the home, there is a father, the head of the household. Whether you like it or not, according to the Bible, that is how it is. And there is a mother, there are parents, and there are children. And we are to learn what is our role and what is our responsibility. And there needs to be a restoration of authority, because nowadays we dismiss authority. We're not afraid any longer of authority at all. But we are to honor it. It is how God would have it. Respectfully then, we are to pay attention to teachers, not only because of their office, but mainly because of their office. They're not omniscient. Teachers are not omniscient. They don't know everything. Parents do not know everything. But we are called upon to concentrate and to focus attention upon their teaching. Parental authority is not absolute authority. Father has a right to teach his children. But what he teaches as a father is not always right. And you fathers need to be humble enough to acknowledge that that is the case. You will earn respect. Children, you are to respect your parents, respect your fathers, because they are encouraged to teach you the things that God wants you to know. So there needs to be the recovery of authority. Recognize authority. I could go on. Even in the church, there is authority, there is order, there is structure. We need to respect one another. Scripture says submit to one another. But then there are offices in the church also, and it is right and proper that they be submitted to. not as if they were popes. They're not. But they have an office. They hold a position. They are shepherds of the flock, or they are servants in the church in some other respect. And so with regards to that, yeah, we restore the authority where it should be. And we learn to pay attention to the things that are taught. You're not entertained on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening here. You never will be as far as I'm concerned. But you are to be educated. You are to be instructed. You are to be informed. You are to be taught the word of God. And then secondly, we need to recognize the limits of our own smartness. Humility is in short supply these days, but a large dose of it is certainly needed for most of us. In chapter 3, verse 5, do not lean on your own understanding. There are some, in fact, who want to be lone rangers, who give the impression that they know it and they cannot be taught. And so therefore, they're not going to concentrate, they're not going to focus, they're not going to pay attention, because they think too highly of themselves. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, says the Father. Note the significance of biblical learning and body language. When the Father says to his Son, incline your ear, don't turn away when I'm talking to you. Why are you looking out of the window? I know the wind is blowing out there. Okay, all right. And you saw a bird fly past. Look in this direction, please. Pay attention. So you've got the Son, as it were, in the high chair, or he's sitting around the table. Look, listen, and look in my direction. And so this inclining of the ear is the bowing of the ear. It expresses humility, expresses a willingness to learn and to listen. They bend. And so body language is a model of concentration. Why are you closing your eyes when I'm talking? There was one man who was in one of the churches that I passed him many, many years ago now. And he actually came to me one day and he said, listen, if you see with me with my eyes closed, I'm not sleeping, I'm praying. Well, I hope that was right. But, you know, keep your eyes open, as it were. But you may want to kind of close them because you're needing to reflect and to meditate. But there is something about the body language which does communicate something to others. You know, when people are fidgeting and so on, I wonder why that is. People look at their watches. Well, it's 5 to 11. We're going to go on a bit longer than that, so I'm going to let you know. The roast will be all right in the oven. Don't worry about it, okay? We're still going to spend time. Just listen and concentrate. There is a generation today who replaces their ears with their mouth. They don't hear, they heckle. They don't pay attention. They think they're so smart that they don't need to pay attention. They know it all. They know everything. And what they believe is right. And there are those, therefore, today who close down others and tell them to shut up whilst they themselves speak through their megaphones, as it were, and are going to have the platform, and attention is going to be given to them, so they hope. The only sense that these people have is nonsense, so don't listen to them anyway. Their offspring, if they have any offspring, will be all mouth and no ears. Can you imagine such a monster being born? Well, it may be so. The ordered heart pays special attention to the merchandise that comes through ear gate, and it is a glutton. That is, the ordered heart is a glutton for wisdom. John Bunyan speaks of man's soul, and there are 5 gates. One of them is ear gate. What goes in, what goes out? Well, what goes in may come out of the mouth. What comes in, we hope, is wisdom. Pay attention that when you speak, you will speak words that are wise. pursue wisdom. The father says to his son, prize wisdom highly, and she will exalt you. In everything, pay attention to Christ, who is made unto us wisdom. In Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And those who are truly smart, well, they know that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Don't overestimate your own insights and understanding. Be humble enough to learn and to listen from others. And God may impart to you his truth and his wisdom so that you can communicate the same and share the same with others. Thirdly, reflect attentively on the times in which we're living. Pay attention. In latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. There are many heresies, many errors in the world. Pay attention to the days in which we are living. What if, as is suggested, we're entering a time of a new colonialism, which is the profit, a product of a profiteering capitalism, a powerful group of tech giants, and a perilous mix of communism, thanks to the Chinese Communist Party? What if we are moving into such times as that? Pay attention to the days in which you are living. Give attention to the Word of God. Store up and treasure it in your heart. What is going to be the result of these things come together? A profiteering capitalism, a powerful group of tech giants, and a perilous mix of communism, which is thanks to the Communist Party. That is a new day in which you will find an order that tells you not only what to say, but what to do and what to think. Pay attention to what they say, what they think. Do their bidding. Follow their guidelines, and all will be well with you. I'm suggesting that you pay attention to the Word of God and that you join those who belong to the counterculture and will withstand that disorder that others are wanting to impose upon us. Listen so that you might fight the good fight of faith and that you may stand firm in the times in which we're living. We need to pay attention to the powers of providence, to see which way the wind is blowing, to discern what is happening within society, both at home and abroad. We need to be able to turn the pages of history and not forget, remember, the Bible is a book of history and is forever reminding the people of what God has done in the past and what he can and will do even in the future. Pay attention, therefore, and read and reflect. Consider the present drift of the times in which we are living. If we dig our head in the sand, if we get distracted by self-indulgent pursuits, we may fail to walk prudently and wisely in more difficult, dangerous times than we have known for decades. We need, therefore, to concentrate, to give attention. Pay attention to God's word and be sure that your trust is not in men or machines, but in the living God. Let me turn your attention to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Again, if you look at verse 25 and verse 26, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. If you look at chapter 11 and verse 4, there we read, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In other words, pay attention to the values and the priorities which will protect and preserve us in difficult days that lie before us. Do not be indifferent. Do not sink your neck, as it were, and head into the sand and become complacent about the hour in which you're living. Reorder the very priorities of your life So if you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, we read this. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. Chapter 16 and verse 16 of Proverbs says this. In the light of the kings, how much better to get wisdom than gold, verse 16, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Reorder the priorities of your life and pay attention. Those who would be rich, who make wealth, not wisdom, their goal, concentrate their time, their energy, their health to the gaining of temporal riches. And even Christians can fall into the trap of being seduced, enticed by wealth, material wealth, which is fleeting, disappearing, has wings and flies away. And they do not pursue wisdom. I ask some of you to consider your own hearts and to think upon this. Is it possible that you are making worldly wealth the goal and the idol of your own life? You don't want to accept it. You don't want to believe it. But I ask you to concentrate, to pay attention, and to give consideration to these matters, because it's going to be taken away. But if you have wisdom stored up in your heart, that will sustain you and it will keep you in the day of trial and in the day of trouble. Look at the things that are better. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Proverbs 28, verse 6, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Here are those who make wisdom their top priority and they give attention. Brothers and sisters, if you claim to be Christians, then surely this should be your objective and your goal and your priority, to seek out the wealth of God's own word and to store it up in your heart, and then reckon with the fallout of not paying attention. What's the result if you don't pay attention? If you close your ears and eyes to the warning signs, and if you refuse to heed God's word and choose not to take the words of the Lord to heart, or even the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, "Take heed how you hear." If you refuse to pay attention to that word, you may find to your eternal sorrow that that Christless, crossless path upon which you walk leads only to hell and endless despair. The characteristics of Christ's sheep are as follows. At least let me point out one to you. My sheep hear my voice. They pay attention, they concentrate. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and I love them. And how do you know that they pay attention? They follow him. They don't admire him, they follow him. You can be a Muslim and admire Jesus, but not follow him. You can be an atheist and you might even admire Jesus the man, but not follow him. If you are a Christian, you follow him, not just on Sundays, but you follow him every day of the week. And you will be challenged with respect to whether you follow him or not in the decade that is ahead of us. Those of you in the office, those of you on the factory floor, those of you on the campus will be challenged. Not myself simply as a preacher of the gospel, but you as professing Christians will be challenged. Will you subscribe to what the company wants you to subscribe to in these days? Will you or will you not? It will indeed bring about a challenge to you because of your livelihood, and you may lose your livelihood. Be prepared. Face the consequences. Pay attention now and prepare for tomorrow. We order then the priorities of your life and listen to all that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. My son, says the Father, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the Lord of your mother. And with our own children, by the grace of God, let us teach them early on the discipline of sitting still, the blessing of silence, the pleasure of listening to what dad or mom says. They may be just a matter of 12 to 18 months of age. All right, the process is slow, but they're to be trained. And when they're 5 and 10, they will have picked up that lesson at home. And you can bring them to church and sit them on a seat, and they won't make a beep because you have trained them. And they're going to consider and to ponder these things. And for us adults, let us set the example. So easy for us to be distracted in our times and diverted from what we should be giving ourselves to, the study of the Word of God, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, that we may defend the truth and honor and glorify our God. Let us pay attention. Amen.